Seriously, she's not really married to Kevin Costner, but she does know a thing or two about relationships, forming them, keeping them, making them last, as well as making sure it's successful the very first time, every time. How do you navigate dating after 30, 40, or even 50? Oh my gosh. And how and where do single people find safe dating sites and the courage to step back into dating and making it fun? Today, we're going to hit home for a lot of people and a lot of our viewers. And a lot of this is going to land very, very strong today for those of you that are in and looking for relationships. But not only is this going to be relative for you and dating, it's going to be extremely relevant for you and your business world, because the way we do one thing is the way we do everything. So, yes, today we're talking all about dating. We're talking about the wrong turns. We're going to be talking about making sure you set your GPS so it's right the very first time for success, wherever you're headed. We're going to talk about stop attracting the wrong people or decisions. We're going to talk about how to learn how to have successful firsts and seconds and thirds, and acknowledging the good that you bring to any and every relationship that you encounter. Oh my gosh, we are live on the Erin Strayer Show, where we are all about promoting, cultivating, and expanding amazing female entrepreneurs that are out in the world doing things just a little bit different. We're going to be talking about hot topics like dating and relationships, such a sticky topic and so scary for so many of us. And it's super, super painful for a lot of us also. But today we're going to do something different. We're going to give you workarounds, tips, and tricks and techniques so that these challenges get a little help. If you're watching from any other platform other than the Erin Strayer Show, thank you so much. We appreciate you. We are on a lot of platforms and we're out there, and we very, very much appreciate you and the time that you spend with us. If there's a link above you in the feed, go ahead and click that. Come on over here to where we can see you and see your comments when you're over watching with us. I'm your host, Erin Strayer, and recovering corporates and entrepreneurs hire me to get them business beyond the basics, because most are indecisive. They're held hostage by their own fear. Oh my gosh, we're going to talk about some of the fear today. And they've settled for average, like C plus. This is as good as it gets. I don't know about you. That's never good enough for me. So I help them keep on track by setting obtainable goals, plugging gaping holes in their business and personal lives, and taking their dreams to the next stage of reality. And bottom line, I provide peak performance scaling strategies so you and your business gets the attention to detail it deserves and you start making money. You can find me at erinstrayer.com. Who are we talking with today? Oh my goodness, Christine Baumgardner is a successful relationship coach, having worked with the amazing John Gray, the men are from Mars, women are from Venus guy. We all know who he is. Combining her personal dating experience, she has created the Transform Your Dating Life system, working with singles who are frustrated with their dating life and are ready to finally have a loving partner and are willing to tackle what's keeping love away, so they'll finally attract the committed, loving relationship they desire and deserve. Christine coaching provides the tools, the encouragement, and the support to help you finally meet your lasting love. She's brilliant, she's engaging, she's super delightful, and I'm so excited for you to meet Christine Baumgardner. Hello! Hi, friend.
Hi, so great to see you again. This is
Oh my
too fun.
gosh. I know, it's super fun. Today, I'm so excited because this is kind of a little it's gonna be juicy today, isn't it?
Oh yeah, really juicy.
And this is super fun for me because, you know, as girlfriends, we talk about this stuff all the time. But to get in front of people and be live on a show, a business show for women specifically, sometimes that's a little like risky. It's a little risky for me.
Can be.
I'm excited.
And to talk about a subject that, how much does it have to do with business? A lot.
It has a ton to do with business. And people don't get that connection, right? They don't get the connection that it's all about relationships. And I know we were talking about this before, but were you always a relationship coach?
No, actually, prior to becoming a relationship coach, I owned a successful event planning company. I got paid to plan parties for a living for 25 years. And what I learned through that was I watched people get married to someone who was really the right person for them. And then I watched a few people who got married to people that weren't the right people for them. And I would have these conversations with them about, you know, we'd be driving around looking at locations and meeting with vendors, and things had come up about, you know, how are they going to be spending their money or saving their money or raising their children or religion. And often they hadn't talked about all these subjects that I thought, oh my gosh, I dated somebody for 6 months and I knew the answers to all those questions. I know, it was kind of shocking. So it made me have those conversations with them then. Well, let's talk about that. You know, I think it might be important, because besides this fabulous day that we're planning, there's this other thing that's coming after called the marriage that you might want to lay some groundwork for. So I found myself coaching then without any idea that I was going to become a coach someday. And I had been married, excuse me, when I was 18, when you think you know everything.
You know it all then.
Oh, yeah. And then I got divorced when I was 31, when I discovered I didn't know very much at all, which is really kind
of
the normal
thing. Yeah, well.
And then I dated a lot because I had met my first husband when I was pretty young. And now I'm 31, single, no kids. So I dated like a crazy person. It was so much fun because I had never dated before. And my friends would all say, so what do you think of the men that you're dating? And I'd say, you know, they're nice. I really did date very nice people, interesting people, but I would never have married any of them. And I didn't care because I didn't want to get married then. So I never really thought about why I kept saying I wouldn't marry them. And then I turned 50 and I said, you know, I think I want to get married again. And I said that out loud to my friends. I know that was a big step. And then online dating became really popular right then. And so a girlfriend and I joined, and it was great because there were way more men than women. They were offering free memberships to all the women because men are so fearless and they would just jump on, and the women were more cautious. And so now I had even more men to date. And so my friends would now say, what do you think of the guys you're dating? I go, you know, they're nice, but I wouldn't marry them. And I said, well, that's kind of a problem now that I said out loud, I want to get married. So I thought, well, I'm going to look at why. Why wouldn't I marry these men? What would be the biggest trait? So security, financial security had always been important to me. And I was single for a long time. So I had to take care of my own financial security. So I had a savings account and a retirement account. And I would like plan out when I was going to go on vacation and how much I could spend. And I was dating all these men, amazingly, that had really good jobs, made lots of money, but security was not as important to them because they were in horrible debt and they had no savings. They had no retirement. I know. Isn't that fascinating? And I live in a huge metropolitan area. And I thought, well, often we just go next, next, next. It's all wrong with them. Sure. But then I thought, well, there's lots of men that make money and have money. None of them seem to be sitting across the table from me. Maybe it has to do with me. Oh yeah, I think it has to do with me. So I did some digging, some therapy, some journaling, crying, talking, more journaling, more therapy, more crying. And I came up with haven't we all? Haven't we all?
Can I stop there for a second?
Oh, please.
Because the digging, the therapy, the journaling, the crying, the digging, the therapy, the journaling, the crying, that routine right there, what did that do for you?
Well, it did help me get to the bottom of, oh, well, of course, the two significant men in my life, my ex-husband and my father, had made tons of money and had no money to show for it. Mm. So I figured out that somewhere in the back of my head, which is where we make a lot of our decisions unconsciously, I know we've all been there, that, oh, well, that's who all men are, or certainly all the men for me, and the men that I would be attracted to. I know how to handle this. Maybe that's all I deserve. So I thought, well, is that really the truth now in my 50s? No. So I came up with a process to put myself through that switched my thinking, changed that belief system. I know. And I have to tell you, Aaron, the very next man that sat across the table from me made money and had money. So I said, oh, it can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. So let's look at the next trait. So now I tell people this is when dating became fun, even more fun, because I felt like I was going on an archaeological dig about myself. So what about me is attracting this trait? And I did the process, and the next man that showed up didn't have either of those traits. So now, my friends, I'll say, so how, what do you think of the guys you're dating? And I go, you know, they have much more of the kind of traits that I would marry. And they're like, well, what did you do? And I said, well, I came up with this process and it works for me, and I'm not sure it would work for anybody else, but go try. And they started dating men that were more of a match for them. I know. It was a shock. You know, I tell people I fell into becoming a coach. I was my first client and it all just sort of happened. So one of my favorite stories about my lovely deceased husband is we met in October of 2005. And in March, he invited me to go on a cruise with he and his daughter and her girlfriend. And so on
February
that cruise.
February to March.
Yes.
So you only knew him for.
Oh, no. October to March.
Oh, October to March. Gotcha. Yeah. I'm just shortening the time span there for you.
I go really slowly in relationships. It's really, that's a whole nother story about poor Tony. He's such a fast person. He was such a fast, and I'm like the opposite slow person. So on this cruise, he gave me two presents I didn't ask for. One was diamond stud earrings and the other was his credit report. I know.
Are you kidding?
Thanks. I've never asked anybody for a credit report. I said, why did you give me that? And he said, well, I saw clearly in your profile that you're a financially stable person and that's really important to you and a mate, and I'm falling in love with you, so I want you to see that I am. I'm like, well.
It just got grossies all over me.
I think that has certainly gone by the wayside, that challenge I was having. Isn't that such a great story?
Awesome. Like, I seriously, know. Like, what man would deliver on his own his credit report to prove to you that he can take care of and you don't, you know, you don't need to support him.
Yes. Isn't that fun? I know. It kept assuring me that I was on the right track, that I was doing all my work the right way. So then when I married him, all my friends said, well, you have to just stop sharing it just with us. You need to tell more people. So that's when I became a coach 11 years ago. It all just happened that way. So I get to help other people find love. I know, it's the best job in the whole world.
And it's so happy and it's so interesting. And I'm sure like you start, because most of us, and I can only imagine because I've been in that, you know, I'm now in my second marriage and I can remember not wanting to get divorced, right? I was 30. Like, really, am I really going to find another person ever in my life? My clock is ticking. Clearly I'm at the end of my timeline, right? Mm-hmm. Like all of the things that society puts in your brain and the whole living in that nobody's going to ever love you again. Nobody's ever going to want you again. Nobody, you know, that pot of misery and that pile of poo that we put ourselves in, right? And that just that blah, 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 that goes on in your head. And I'm sure that's where everybody that uses you and your services are at when they come to meet you.
Very much. And so, I've mentioned that I've never had to teach a woman to give herself a hard time. We
never.
Are gold medal winners at that.
They already got the trophy.
T-shirt to prove it. Oh, so much. We are excellent at that. And even men, you know, because I've always coached men, but now it's 50-50. 50% of my clients are men. I know. Because they like it, because not only am I a coach, but I'm a woman, so that I can really talk about what is happening on the woman's side of the relationship. And they are so grateful because we're completely confusing to them.
Completely. Right.
Completely. They're befuddled by us. So that's one of the great parts, that because I got to work with John Gray and I was one of his coaches and I made videos with him. I really understand how different men and women are and how differently we think and how differently we act. And that so often it's just that we're misunderstanding and miscommunicating. It's not that we're having misbehavior. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's right. And one of our viewers just said, Elizabeth, she's like, you know, we what'd she say? Let me get it right. She said, we are our biggest critics when it comes to that stuff, that whole inner thought. So I know one of the big things that, you talk about is setting your GPS.
Yeah.
To have a successful first, which I thought when you landed that, I'm like, oh my God, that's brilliant. Like, really, nobody goes anywhere anymore without some kind of Google Maps, some kind of white Waze loaded into their phone. They have a map out there. You go for a hike in the woods, you got your portable GPS, you know, that's hooked to the satellite so everybody can find you and ping you, right? Like all of the things that the GPS has. And I thought, God, that's really interesting the way that you navigated that and you put that in a spin on it for you and what you do with people in relationships. So I want to talk about that for a second. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
So the what we often do is we don't acknowledge where we are.
Yeah.
Where are we beginning? We're like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. And I don't want to look at that. And oh, that's so awful about me. And who would ever want that? And it's who you are now.
Mm.
Because if you were going to go someplace, let's say you were going to, I live in California and I was going to go to New York. But I thought, well, maybe there's something wrong with being in Southern California. I'm going to pretend I'm in Northern California. Well, if I say I want to go to New York, I'm going to end up in Canada because my GPS is going to take me in the wrong direction because I'm not acknowledging where I'm starting.
Mm.
So that's what I do with people. I look at all the who you are, the battle scars, the things you've learned, the things that are really important to you. Because when you've acknowledged what you really have to have in a relationship and the kind of things you can't have in a relationship and what you bring to a relationship, that was part of the process I put myself through. And it's the things that I do with all my clients. They start attracting people that are much more honoring of who they are. Who I wanted somebody who thought my idiosyncrasies were interesting and tolerable. And my husband thought I was one of the most fascinating people he'd ever met. With all of my things that I wondered about and worried about and found out that he thought they were pretty terrific because I worked out how they could be terrific in my mind. So often one of the things that men find the most sexy about women is our self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And it's the hardest thing for lots of women. So I have a couple of exercises that we do right away in the beginning to start building up their self-confidence. And I have to tell you, one of the most exciting things that happens is within a week or two, all the people in their life are like, have you lost weight? Did you change your hair? And it's only because they've done this inside work that they're working on their self-confidence, that they're feeling better about themselves. They're liking their moods. They're liking their bodies. They're liking their mind. And people are noticing, but they think it's all this weird outside stuff that's right. happening. And they've done nothing with their outside. It's all an inside job. I know. Isn't that fun?
I know. And we hear it all the time, and it's so out there that the work starts on the inside first. Mm-hmm. But our training all looks outward. Mm-hmm. And did you change your hair? Did you lose weight? Do you got your eyeliner different today? Like, what is different on the outside? And I think mm-hmm. that's a really strong point that you bring, that yes, that work starts from the inside, and your confidence has nothing to do with your weight. It has nothing to do with your hairstyle. It has nothing to do with whether your teeth are white enough or not. You're right. Like, or the pair of earrings you're wearing, like it has nothing to do with any of those things. It's all in that inner part and that inner diving deep and
yes.
getting to that core of who we yeah. are as people, male or female, right? Because we're talking to we our target market is women on the show. However, the men totally can benefit from that inner work as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Men are so insecure a lot nowadays because we've confused them about what do we want? Do we want them to open the door? Do we want them to pay the bill? Women, we went through that feminist time where, yes, there were some good things that came out about it, but it really screwed up male-female relationships mm-hmm. a lot.
Yes.
That all I make a point of when I'm approaching a door and there's a man coming about the same time, I slow down. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of sad how many men will stop and wait. And I'll go, oh, I just love a handsome man to open the door for me. And they just beam. And they open the door and I say, thanks so much. You just made my day. And they go, thanks. You made mine too. And I figure whoever he goes home to, he's going to be in an even better mood for them. It's my pain forward to other women.
Oh, and it's so good, because I think that one, the acknowledgement, right? A handsome man opening the door to me. That's massive acknowledgement of them mm-hmm. and who they are, and that they get to mm-hmm. open that door for us.
Yes.
And they get to be, you know, I know that I'm a super, super strong female, right? Like I lived in a man's world forever. I had to be a guy, right? Like, put your pants on and be a guy. If you want to yeah. compete here and be mm-hmm. known and be seen in this lane that you chose, then you got to be one of us. Well, yeah. I didn't realize how I was basically taking my husband's masculinity away from him by not allowing him mm-hmm.
yes.
to love me in the way that worked for him. You know what I mean? Like, opening the doors or mm-hmm. just nice things, complimenting me. Like, I never ask him do I look good in this? I didn't care. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care what he thinks. I don't need that. I'm hanging out with all the guys. I don't care what, you know, and I think that we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot.
Very much. Both sexes lose in that equation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Partly because if we even just go physiologically, chemically, the way our bodies work, men are best when their testosterone level is higher than their estrogen level. And women bodies function best if our estrogen level is higher than our testosterone level. Mm. And so when we truly have all the power, we have all the power in relationships. If it's a good guy, which the majority of men are, if we allow them to provide something for us, opening the door, my husband, so I'm single for a really long time. I'm very capable of getting my car washed and putting gas in my car. But I have to tell you, while my husband was alive, every time I went out in that garage, my car was clean and had gas in it, and I didn't have to do it. I was thrilled, thrilled. Mm-hmm. So when we allow them to provide for us and we go into the receiving mode from mm-hmm. somebody that we care about and cares about us, their testosterone level shoots up, our estrogen level shoots up, and both of our bodies are so much happier, so much happier.
You so many nuggets here. So receiving is another huge one. Oh my gosh, we can talk for a whole nother 30 minutes because mm-hmm. your stuff is amazing. Receiving also is super hard for both men and women, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what men want to receive is appreciation. I explain to women, you can never over appreciate a man. So when somebody's having a challenging relationship, or even if your relationship is good, one of my pieces of advice is for the woman to look for 10 things a day that he already does that you like and say, mm. thank you. Thanks for going to work. Thanks right. for coming home. Thanks for kissing me hello. Thanks for being a good guy. Thanks for helping out with the kids. Whatever he already does, say thank you. And we like being thanked, but if it can be overdone for women, we would go, huh? A man never will. A man really likes it. It's like air and water and food to him. And the good side for that for women is now that you don't do it for this reason, but it is a bonus that if you've done all this appreciation for things he already does, then there's something you'd really like him to do differently. He is suited up for it. He is ready. What is it you need and how would you like me to do it? Sure. 100%.
Done. It's already done, baby.
Done. Like the trap.
You want me to hang that picture? It's done. Where's the hammer? Hang on. Where do you want it? Up, left? I got it.
And then say thank you when he does
thank
it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, always thank you. So the trash is kind of a bane of everybody's existence, a little thorn in everybody's side. And we're just sure he's ignoring the trash that's overflowing and on the floor. But he's not.
It's in everybody's house too.
All the women are going, oh, the trash. He ignores it. He's doing it to piss me off.
Right.
He's doing it because he doesn't care. No, he doesn't notice it. He really doesn't notice it. It's not something that's in his orbit that's important to him. I mean, there are men that are really neat and tidy people. My husband was somebody who took out the trash because it was worth it to him. It was important to him. He didn't do it for me. I said, thank you anyway. But for a guy that's not in his orbit, what a woman needs to do is say, hun, it would make me so happy if you would please take out the trash every night before dinner, after dinner, give him a deadline and then leave him alone. And then when he does it, and he comes back from doing it, say thank you. And we're like, oh, why should I say thank you? It's his trash too. Did you like that he took out the trash? Mm-hmm. Would you like him to do it again? Mm-hmm. Say thank you. He'll do it again. So I have a friend whose husband he calls himself the king of trash. He whips through the house every night and makes sure every trash can is empty. And then he comes back. And she tells him, thanks, I can't believe it. It's wonderful. I didn't have to go out to that stinky trash can. You're my hero. She's never touching that trash again.
It's so crazy because it's so true. And our little men are the same way. Just mm-hmm. FYI.
Oh, they just got taller.
Our little men are the same way. Our little gentlemen that are growing up to be men are the same way. I have one that's almost 14 in my house. And man, when I tell him thank you for something, even though I just asked him to do it and he did it. Oh man, what else do you want me to do, Mom?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, they want to please us. So I'm reaching as high as I can. You just have to see that my hand's as high as I can reach. This is the highest priority to men, is to make us happy. Once they've gotten past the provide and protect part, which is their natural instinct for people they care about, they really want to make us happy. Mm. And a millimeter below that is they don't want to piss us off.
Yeah.
And they have no idea what pisses us off most of the time.
Right.
We get mad.
It changes all the time.
I know. And then
it
we
does
say,
for me anyway.
What?
It does for me anyway. Like, yeah. What irritates me today is different than what irritated me yesterday.
Oh, and they're so confused by that.
And they just never can get beat on us.
Yeah. All the time. Yep.
Yeah.
So what I tell women is they'll go, he's doing that to piss me off. No. He really doesn't want to ever piss you off. That is a really high priority to him. But what we'll say is, okay, if he really cared, he know why I'm mad. I'm not going to tell him why I'm mad.
Right.
Because if he loved me enough, yes, we think they have that superpower, and they really don't.
I know.
But what they will do is, if you say, hon, this is really important to me, and this will make me not be mad, this will make me happy if you do it this way, they'll go, okay. And they really will go out of their way, because they want us to be proud of them. They want us to appreciate them. They want us to feed them. They want us to have sex with them. Because when we get all inside ourselves about mad, and we're not going to tell them why we're mad, and we think they're doing it on purpose to make us mad, we don't want to have sex with them.
Right.
We don't. No. We pull back in right. This really vital way that's so important for both of us to connect with each other. And that's another way we shoot ourselves in the foot. I mean, who doesn't want a good orgasm, really?
Right. I know. Somebody raised their hand. I don't think anybody's going to.
I want to
go
orgasm.
There.
Yeah.
I would like to schedule that daily, please. No.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Pretty frequently. It's good for our skin. It's good for our bodies. Everybody always is too busy, too tired. And if I can talk them into doing it, they will always say, oh, yeah, I remember this was really fun. I remember I liked this. We should do this more often again.
Man, that was good.
Yeah. Men are a little bit, even in older, because generally the people I coach are over 50. Maybe they take a little bit longer to warm up than they did when they were 20,
sure.
But they're still a little bit more microwave. And we're a little bit more slow cooker.
Mm-hmm.
So what I told my husband was, to guarantee that I'm in the mood when you're in the mood, send me texts during the day. Send me something sexy and I'll know, okay, take a bath, shave, be ready. Because I could warm myself up. I could start doing stuff in my head. I could get all myself kind of ready. If I wasn't already in the mood, I could get in the mood.
Yeah.
And so that's the perfect way to do it. We do stuff for ourselves and then we do it for them too. Because it's all starts here. It's all here.
So good. So good. We kind of went around our topics today a little bit. But I think what we covered today is super, super it's juicy. It's imperative. It's beneficial. It's all stuff that we need to know. Even if we're married, we still should be dating our guys.
Oh, don't stop dating ever.
Right? Like even then, we still should have that crockpot mentality of warming us up, right? We still should have that little bit of an undertone sexy, let's have a little sex texting going on back and forth with our guys to get us in the mood, because clearly it takes us a little bit longer than the guys to get in the mood. I mean, let's just be real about that. So it's true.
It's the truth.
I think you need to come back on, Christine. I think we need to have part two.
That'd be so fun.
I think we need to have part two, but I want to talk about real quick, cause we're super close to our time right now. I want to talk about how people find you, what you have, your online courses. Let's talk about that real quick, because you are the perfect catch coach.
Thank you. Well, my tagline is first learn how to be one and then you can attract one. And that's what I had to learn on my own. And so that's what I teach.
Yeah.
So the way that people can reach me is through my website, www.theperfectcatch.com. And on that website is lots of articles. I write a newsletter every other week. There's videos. You can also schedule a free conversation with me. At the top, it says what's holding you back from love. You click on that and then you can have a conversation with me. I also have my 6-week Transform Your Dating Life online classes that I teach over the telephone for men and women starting up the beginning of September. So please sign up for that. It's a great way to get your feet just a little wet and see if coaching's for you. It's a very inexpensive way to get some really good basic information about how to create a better dating life for yourself. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook. I love hearing from people. You can also reach me directly at Christine, Christine, at theperfectcatch.com.
I'm going to put that in here too, because
Christine
is not only has been there, right?
Been there, done that.
Been there, done that. If we are good coaches, trainers in the world, we train what we've learned.
Oh, yeah.
And
made all the mistakes.
And I think that there are some that are better at that than others. And I think that the experience that you bring forward and the fact that you teach all the people that are single how to go out and find safe places to meet people, how to figure out and navigate that online dating.
How to write a profile, how to make sure to be safe with scammers. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to use online dating, I have lots of other suggested places to go and what to do when you get there to meet people.
Right. All of those things that are so imperative when we're found in that situation. And maybe we're 30, maybe we're 40, maybe we're 50 plus, right? And we now find ourselves still wanting companionship, and we still mm-hmm. want to be in the presence of another human being, and whatever mm-hmm. that looks like, it can be scary. And there are ways to navigate mm-hmm. that with ease and grace. And really, quite honestly, Christine, you are probably the person that I would go to mm-hmm. for that, because of your heart, because of your focus, because of the gracefulness that you've used navigating that space yourself. And that just comes forward in how you show up for others. And I want to acknowledge you for that. And I want to acknowledge that your presence is amazing. And
thank you.
Yeah.
And I love coming up with a strategy, because I have sort of a general plan that I always have available. And then I strategize to customize my information for each person, because we're all so unique and different.
It's so true. It's so true. And you guys, seriously, I'm going to talk Christine into coming back on when we're off the show here. I'm going to twist her arm to come back and we'll have part two, because this stuff is juicy and it's good. And the whole fact that it absolutely relates to everything we do in life. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that this topic gets to be revisited and go deeper with it. So if you've been with us, thank you so much. If you are watching the replay, please make sure you hashtag replay us. And we, if you have questions, comments, concerns, anything directed towards Christine, drop it in the feed. We'll make sure we answer your questions and get back to you for sure. Thank you so much, everybody, for your time. Christine, thank you for being with us today on the show. I adore you. I adore what you do in the world. Thank you for who you are and what you be in this life. I appreciate you. Everybody else, we'll see you right back here soon. Take care, everybody.